Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
When you learn to forgive, you are getting a miracle in your spirit man, housed through your soul and clothed in your body.
I want to start reading with verse 1 of Matthew chapter 9. And I want you to listen to me today. I'm going to try to teach this thing because I'm receiving revelation as I'm speaking it myself, okay? As the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, I want to start reading with verse 1. The Bible reads this, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Now, what city was that? That city was Capernaum. I mean, Capernaum loved Jesus. Nazareth wanted to kill him. Jerusalem wanted to kill him. But Capernaum loved Jesus. I have the same example. New Orleans wanted to kill me. Homer wanted to kill me. But Lafayette loved me and still does. Thank you, Lafayette. I call Lafayette my Capernaum. I couldn't hardly do anything wrong. Every time every church I ever went to, it just had glorious me. People just loved it. Every time we go, and I preach in several churches, you know, Lafayette, New Iberia, Cajun places, just Pecan Island, Abbeville, Acadiana Parish. See what I'm saying? I call it my Capernaum. It was just such a blessing. This was Jesus' Capernaum. Now watch this. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, seeing the people that brought him, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now in those days, and it still is today, sin can cause great sickness in your body. That's why I don't believe in judging people. Even though sometimes God does some things I don't understand, sometimes things are going so wonderful and he changes it. He cuts something. You go, "Oh, what are you doing?" So they can bear much more fruit, St. John 15. But yeah, but it's working. It's cooking. It's happening. Cut it. Because what happens is the next crop is bigger than the first crop. Yeah, but the tree is so full you couldn't put another orange on it. But all of a sudden, boom, it'll build an extra branch and extra oranges. He looks at this man, and most of the people back then, if you were sick, it was some part of a sin. Because they wasn't saved like me and you. They couldn't come boldly to the throne of grace. Uh-uh. No, that didn't happen. They had to go before the high priest. Priests had to take the sins of Israel once a year, put it on a scapegoat, send it out to the desert. In fact, if he had sin in his life when he walked into the Holy of Holies, he would just die. And they had to put a rope around his ankle. I guess a lot of them did die. You had to pull them out because you couldn't go in there. But in other words, sin and God is like matter and antimatter. They explode. Mm-mm. Can't happen. So he looks at this man and he says, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, verse 3, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." In other words, who do you think you are that you can forgive sins? Now, I'm going to shock you about something here in a minute. Jesus told the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, through Peter, he said, "What sins you remit will be remitted, what sins you retain will be retained." I'll get into that after a while. Because now that's going to blow your religious mind right out the door. They said, "This man blasphemeth." Now watch this. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, so Jesus can hear what you think, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Now watch this. Look at verse 5. "For whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk.'" What's easier, forgiving a man's sins or the miracle healing of his body? What's easier? "But that ye may know that the Son of Man," and I love that, didn't say the Son of God, called himself the Son of Man, "hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house.' And he arose and departed to his house." Notice Jesus didn't say, "Hang around and we're going to do an interview." He wasn't interested in building his ministry. He was interested in honoring the Father God. And the man departed to his house.
But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God. Two things happened: sin forgiven, miracle healing. And they glorified God, which had given such power unto who? Not man. It didn't say unto Jesus. It said unto men or mankind. That's why Satan hates you so much. You have power and dominion over all the works of God's hands. Look at this verse. I'm going to read it again, verse 5. For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. Notice he didn't do this very often. Pray for a lot of sick people. It was very hard. It's harder to forgive sin than to forgive, than to get a miracle in your physical body. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Write this down. There is a merciful side to God, but it shouldn't be taken lightly. It is a miracle to forgive. Because when you learn to forgive, you're getting a miracle in your spirit man, housed through your soul and clothed in your body. God is a merciful God, but he didn't say that very often, thy sins be forgiven, because it was very hard for Jesus to forgive sin. It's very hard for God to forgive, because you see, when love is involved in something, it's very, very hard to forgive someone that you love and somebody hurt that person, or that person that loved you did some terrible sin against you. And what caused it to be harder to forgive was not hatred, because that would be easy, love. Let me say it again. There is a merciful side to God, but it shouldn't be taken lightly. It's a miracle to forgive. Think about that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have practiced that all my life. It has not been easy. My ministry has not been easy. I have been really criticized and persecuted, not looking for sympathy. Because when you're different, people will attack you. What they don't understand, they attack. You see what I'm saying? They think something, you know, who do you think you are? And then they try to tear you down instead of lift you up. When that, yet they know the anointing of God is on you, they can see it. But it's very hard sometimes to forgive people who you thought had your back. Let me say it again. There is a merciful side to God, but it shouldn't be taken lightly. Why? It's a miracle to forgive. Write this down. Sin sometimes leaves a mark on you, which when thought of is rotten to the core. What was the mark I'm talking about? Well, for example, Cain, God put a mark on him. Why? Because he committed murder, the first murderer, and shed what? Watch this, innocent blood. Now, think about Adam and Eve. You think it was easy to forgive Cain by them to, because they, he killed their brother, the good kid? The kid that didn't give no problems? And God said, sin lieth at the door? And if you master it, you'll be all right. Think about the parents of that. Sin sometimes leaves a mark on you, which when thought of is rotten to the core. I remember a person telling me, and I'll keep their name private, one of their family members was killed. The brother was killed by a gang member or something. The daughter of the sister of the brother, when they got home, they told the parents of what happened, that your brother was killed. And the one of the parents said to the sister, it should have been you instead of him. How could any parent say such a diabolical thing? Think about the scar that would put upon you. Yet the parents said that. And that person just had to take it. And yet the person that, the parent that said that to the sister, is the one that helped them more than anybody. But she said, it should have been you instead of your brother. Now, I'm almost positive that's very hard to forget. And probably a lot harder to forgive. Because you really find out what's inside of people when tragedy hits. It's the same thing with drinking. When people get drunk, they speak the truth. Now, act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Most of y'all have been drunk in your life, especially if you're from South Louisiana. You're drinking beer at 2 years old, eating crawfish. You know it's true.
Boy, you get honest. You say things because you open yourself up. Let me say it again. Sin sometimes leaves a mark on the church, and when thought of, it is rotten to the core. Now, Jesus expects us to forgive. He kept saying, What is it easy? You think it's easy? Is it easier to get this guy out this wheelchair or to forgive his sins? See, he is contemplating the same thing in his mind. This is not easy because he had never done this much. In fact, he had never done it before till that time. Whoa. Which is easier? Well, it's actually easier to get the guy out the wheelchair. See, because sin will take you further than you want to go, keep it longer, you want to stay, charge you more than you want to pay. Like other preachers have used that statement over the years. He said, whether it's easier, this is not easier. Watch this. And then he says that you may know that the Son of Man, not the Son of God, the Son of Man, because he's given this power, has power upon the earth to forgive sin. Now, the only person, let me just say this, the only person that can forgive sin is God. But the fivefold ministry, he has given us authority to say that your sin has been forgiven. That's the difference. You see, God forgives sin, right? But he's given us, he's given us the authority to declare to you that your sin's been forgiven when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the same amount of power as the power that's forgiving sin. Because once it's forgiven, now it has to be declared. Faith without works is dead. Write this down. Pardon has been represented as an easy thing to do when it's not. Think about the governor or the president when they have to pardon somebody. And maybe they paid their debt to society in jail. But the victim is dead. The family says, you're going to let this person out. Maybe they were there 30 years. I mean, I don't doubt Pastor Kenny's seen that. He used to be a state trooper, see a lot of, you know, people in prison and, you know, police work. They do a lot of that kind of stuff. Make a long story short, it'd be very hard for the family to say, well, he's free. Yeah. And that's okay. Because they're thinking, what about my son? What about my daughter? What about what they did here? You see what I'm saying? And it's not an easy thing. I think one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my lifetime was the time that that white boy walked into that church and killed all them people while they were having a prayer meeting. I think it was a Methodist church, an AME church, I think is what it was. And those people killed, the pastor killed. I mean, people knew they were dying. And everyone in that church walked up and said, we forgive him. That was great strength showed there. Because let's be honest, could you do that? You don't want to have to go through that to find out if you did. You see, pardon's not easy. So when I've seen governors and presidents pardon people, I don't think it's as easy as the political world thinks it is, because you got to think both sides of the coin. And naturally, you're going to pick the side you like the best, right? But you see, it's the difficulty of forgiving or the difficulty of forgiving sin is not an easy thing. If your husband commits adultery on you, look at these women. I see it in your eyes. Or how about a girlfriend? If you're, maybe you're not mad, girlfriend. There's something about that that cuts you to the core. Is it forgivable? Yes. Is it forgivable? Is it forgettable? I don't know. Because I think if he's 2 minutes late, where he at? Right? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. Jesus had this same thing. It was difficult. Because this was God manifested in the flesh. But it was difficult. Jesus had to look at sin. The Father doesn't even look at it. Father wouldn't even look at Jesus on the cross. Why? He had sin on him. Your sin. So imagine what Jesus is experiencing here in flesh. See what I'm saying? So pardon has been represented as an easy thing to do when it's not. See, write this down. It's easy to condone sin, but when one takes sin seriously, it's not. There are a lot of times we say, well, they're young, you know, they're messing up. But, you know, they'll meet God. It's pretty easy to condone sin. But if you take sin seriously, you go, that boy ain't doing right. That girl ain't doing right. And it's hard to say that because you love them. And you know what? Every one of us should take sin seriously. Sin is a killer. Because when it's finished, the repercussions of it is death. The Bible says when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin hath finished or it's done its terrible deed of work, it bringeth forth death. See, so it's easy to condone sin. It is. Why? Because the flesh says, you can do anything you want. But if you take sin seriously, it's not. We have to face the fact there is a hell. People say, I don't believe that. That don't change it. And we have to face the fact there is a heaven. And there's two sides of this coin, and it's not a flip. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. Let me say it again. It's easy to condone sin, but when one takes it seriously, it is not. See, my mother never condoned my sin. And I thought, Mama, it's just, hey, whatever. Because she took sin seriously. She knew what sin was doing to me. It was difficult. See, if it was difficult for Jesus, you know it's going to be difficult for you. Are you hearing me? I've never preached something like this, but the Lord told me to do that because, you see, people need forgiveness. All of us, we've all sinned and come short of the glory. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know what? It's much easier to look at someone else's than to look at ours. Right? So you understand what I'm saying. It's easy to condone sin, but when one takes it seriously, it's not. Write this down. When you give forgiveness, you know what you're doing? You're giving yourself. When you give forgiveness, that's what Jesus did to this man. He gave himself. You're giving yourself when you forgive. When you say, you know what? No matter what you've done, I pardon you. You know the little joke, it's not a joke, it's actually scripture. Sometimes Kathy gets mad at me and I don't know why. Why would she ever get mad at me? I just can't understand that. Save my life, you know what I'm saying? I'm a nice man. And she get a little angry. She get hot, you know? And the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, right? So I tell Kathy, sun going down. Come on, baby. Come on. Sun going down. Boy, that didn't make her mad. I said, come on. Ho! Sun going down, Kathy. And she'd get frustrated. Ah! I'm sorry. I say, I pardon you. You know where we learned that at? Schindler's List, the movie. When Schindler told that terrible commandant, you can kill somebody easy, but it's so hard to pardon somebody. See, pardon is not easy. See, when you give forgiveness, you give yourself. So I tell Kathy, I pardon you. And she ain't too impressed with that neither. But she has spoke it, and that's good enough. And that's all I'm going to say about that point. Which brings me to the next thing. Forgiveness always comes through pain. Forgiveness always comes through pain. You know what it's called? The cross. Why was the cross so painful? What made it so evil? Sin. Sin. Sin held Jesus to that cross. Your sin. Watch what he says this. This is hard to forgive. In the Garden of Gethsemane, if this cup can pass from me. But he has to rebuke and just crucify his flesh and prove the Pauline revelation that's going to be wrote many years later. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, I'm going to take on sin. You ready for this? Father, you've never experienced that. And God the Father turned his back on him. Couldn't look at it. Not because of him, but because of our sin. See, forgiveness always comes through pain. It's called the cross. Yet Jesus crucified his flesh. See, that was not easy to do. It was very difficult because you see right there, ready for this? He had only just done this once. Now he's got to forgive everybody. All of us, past, present, and future. Good Lord. Now that's a weight. Think about that. That's a weight on him. That's why he sweat drops of blood. Because sin's very heavy. It's very painful. And that's what the cross is. He's taking on. See, let me say it again. Forgiveness always comes through pain. It's called the cross. And why is it like that? When love is involved and sin is at the door, it's hard to forgive. For God so loved the world. See, when love is involved, Jesus loved us. He wants to forgive us, but the pain of that is beyond human comprehension. That's why people say, why Christianity is so wonderful. Because in the midst of everything wrong, you cursing him, you using his name in vain, you put everything else ahead of him. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We've all done some crazy things in our life. Even as Christians, he still forgives us. He told us to bless. He told us to give, and we refused to do it. We prefer to meet our own needs. And then some preacher or some missionary had to hurt, and he had to go get somebody else to do this. Don't shout me down. See, disobedience is sin. That's why you get angry when your children don't do what you tell them to do, when they disobey you. Why? It's a lack of respect and honor. So judgment comes because of that, right? But yet, you still forgive them. You're going to love our partner message. Fellowship is a necessary ingredient. You know, when Jesus saved you, he gave you a raw invitation for companionship. You were never designed to be alone. God created us to be a family, to come together in fellowship with him and one another. This uplifting teaching will bless you greatly. How do I get it? You just go to jdm.org and get your copy today.
Welcome to Glorious Moments. I hope today's testimonies encourage you as much as they encourage me. Jesse and I are so thankful for every person that has been touched by this ministry over the past 50 years. It's our prayer that you receive from God in a glorious way too. Let's begin with this one. Thank you for your anointed ministry. I have been blessed to be a partner with you for several years. In February 2026, I had the opportunity to attend your meeting in Hilo, Hawaii. My ears had been plugged for years, but that night, as I walked in the building, my right ear suddenly popped open. I was able to fully enjoy the praise and worship and to receive the message, hearing every word clearly. Love that. And then this, praise God, this next one says, praise the Lord, he is so good. His love is everlasting. Our friends were healed from stage 3 cancer, another friend from stage 4 cancer, and a relative of ours from stage 3 cancer as well. One of them was facing severe financial hardship because of hospital bills, but Jesus made a way. Miracles happened, the bills were paid off, and we're doing very well. Thank you for our JDM friends for praying with us for these miracles through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, and God bless you all. Amen. You know, we're praying for you, and we praise God with you for his faithfulness. Now, this last one reads this way. It says, you probably don't remember, but over the past 2 years, I've submitted several prayer requests to become debt-free, find a new home, and purchase a new car. Well, I'm here to report that I paid off all my debt, paid off my car, and last year moved into the most beautiful lease home I never thought we would be approved for. Thank you so much for all that you do and for your prayers. How beautiful are the mighty works of the Lord. Remember, you serve a mighty God who can do the impossible for you. So trust him today with your life. God bless you.
Join Jesse and Kathy Duplantis in Nashville, Tennessee for a special Friday event. August 7th at Faith is the Victory Church. Kathy at 10 a.m.
When he puts the assignment, he puts the dream on your heart, he also gives you the anointing to fulfill it.
And Jesse at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
See, this is more than religion, ladies and gentlemen. This is a living, speaking reality.
Don't miss this special Friday event, August 7th in Nashville, Tennessee.
Are you ready to walk in God's vision for your life and receive above all that you ask or think? In my new book, Create Your World and Walk in It, you'll learn how to have God's creative DNA flowing inside of you. And your connection to his power gives you the ability to create too. By using your faith voice and saying only what faith says, discover the power within you. And every promise on your heart comes to pass in your life. Create your world and walk in it. Get your copy today at jdm.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's message is a reminder of the greatest miracle, the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He forgave us graciously, but it wasn't easy. It meant the cross. Woo, and the cross was tough. You see, when you forgive, you produce a Christ-like spirit, which means you become what Jesus is. And that's what you need to do. I encourage you to watch this message in full on our free JDM app. It will bless you. Also, our product offer, Ate, is going to change your life. It's my new book, Create Your World and Walk in It. It's time to take authority over your life with God's Word. This book will develop you and develop unshakable faith so you can live God's plan for your life. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org for all the ordering information. You can get it right there. I want to tell you about our heaven tour. I tell you, God is doing some wonderful things this year. I've been giving my testimony about my trip to heaven in 1988. All the services are in person only. It's going to be, my next one is Friday, August the 14th, 7 p.m. at Living Word Christian Center in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Now, there will be no worship. You'll just come in, sit down, and I'm going to start talking. You can get more details and more tour dates on our meetings page at jdm.org. This heaven tour has shaken people to their shoes. It will bless you and minister life to you. Partners, thank you for all that you do for this ministry. Your faithful financial support is so wonderful. I mean, my God, and I say it almost every program. 50 years we've been preaching this gospel, we've never had a financial deficit. Isn't that a miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ? God is so good and gracious. Why? Because of you and me together covenanting. Because that's what it is. Partnership is a covenant connection. And I would say something. Also, the anointing of increase is on me, and I want it to come upon you. The hundredfold anointing's on me, and it's about time you get it. Don't you think so? I believe you should, and you should receive it. So thank you, partners, for helping us. And if you're not a partner, pray about becoming one. I'm going to tell you something. This ministry is reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. I tell you, we don't struggle in life. We just walk through life like the Bible says, His will be done in earth or on earth as it is in heaven. And it's just such a blessing. Thank you, partners. Nothing too small, nothing too big. Pray about it and let God guide you today concerning that. See you next week. Bye-bye.
See Jesse Duplantis on his 2026 European Outreach. The 26th of August in the Netherlands. The 27th of August in Switzerland. The 28th of August in Bulgaria. The 29th and 30th of August in France. Jesse Duplantis, 2026 European Outreach, the 26th to the 30th of August. For more information, go to jdm.org.
Join Jesse Duplantis at his 2026 Heaven Tour. At these in-person only services, Jesse will take you through his trip to heaven and share some of the many wonderful things that the Lord has in store for us, both in heaven and on earth. There will also be a special time of ministry, and then Jesse will answer some questions from the audience. Friday, August 14th at 7 p.m. in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota at Living Word Christian Center. Visit jdm.org for more information.
True knowledge of God is essential to right relationship to Him. So God, I said, not only do I want to love you, I want to know you. And since I want to know you, I want to know how you think.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.